Coach Grant, thank you very much for taking the time to join us here. As hey, we got you on video even for everybody watching our live streams. We'll start with the big guy. You played DJ Burns twice this year. You held him under 50% shooting both times. Nobody in the NCAA tournament has done that yet. What's the trick?
Well, you know, the first thing is it's really hard to deal with DJ. But, you know, I'm happy for him. You know, when I was at College of Charleston, he was on campus as a ninth grader. So I've known DJ a lot of years. Saw when he went to Tennessee and then left from Winthrop. And so, you know, I was really happy for him. But he's a load. You know, you play him one-on-one. It's hard to stop him at his size and his kind of nimble. He's like a ballerina, you know. So if you play him one-on-one, he know how to maneuver and get to where you want to go. And then if you double him, he's like a magician. You know, he get it out and his teammates make three. So it's really a hard matchup for anybody.
What do you remember about him as an eighth grader? Did you see that? I mean, I can't imagine all of that size was there yet. Did you see the potential for what he's become?
Yeah, it seemed like he was the same size when I first met him, you know. Seemed like he always been 6'9", 300, you know.
But 275 listed, Coach, because we all believe that, right?
I would say this. The thing I remember the most is his personality and his spirit. You know, he was very energetic, very personable. He's like a big teddy bear. So I think when you look at him, he looked like a big giant, this, you know, mean, nasty guy. But he's actually a really kind of like a gentle giant.
We're talking with Earl Grant, Boston College head basketball coach. Coach, I was really impressed. We were at the ACC tournament, saw your team. I was really impressed with Quentin Post. Bigger dude even than he's listed when you kind of see him up close and powerful guy. Looking at the Final Four, we've talked about DJ Burns. There's Zach Edey. There's Klingon. There's guys like Post. Is the center position fully back?
You know, I would say this. It obviously is helping. It helps your team when you have a dominant inside presence. And so I think, obviously, it's going to be like Jurassic Park 3 when DJ and the big fella go against each other. You know, Big Edey. Mm-hmm. That's the first game, right?
Purdue. Yep, no, yep, Purdue.
So it'll be like Jurassic Park. you can throw the ball to those guys and get out of the way. Both can score. Both can pass. And then Klingon, you know, from UConn is, you know, I see him a lot because they're in the Northeast. You know, just his size, you know, being able to get those high-low catches. Most of his baskets come without dribbling. So that'll be a challenge for anybody. You know, so I do think the center position is back. Our center was more like a point center. He could step out and shoot the three. I don't think these guys are taking threes. Our guy can go inside and out.
I did notice that. The three-point percentage for yours is, I mean, DJ Burns and Edey, who we were just talking about, kind of that Jurassic Park matchup. They're not going to the three-point line unless there's, you know, no time on the shot clock. Is there anything you can kind of glean, though, from how State guarded Post and how they might guard Edey? Because there's not many comparisons you can make to, like, oh, you know, to guard Edey, we're going to do the same thing we did to this other guy because there's just not that many other guys like him.
You know, I think that NC State do a great job scheming. You know, me and Kevin Keats hadn't shaken each other. We've been in the CAA or the ACC for the last 10 years together. So I've seen him scheme, and he does a great job of finding a way, if you have a great inside force, to disrupt him. So I would imagine they would have a great plan. You know, I know they tried to do it against us where they would put, you know, a power forward on Quentin Post and switch everything. And if he go on the inside, they take the five man and, you know, play him with a man and a half. And so I'm sure he'll have a great scheme, you know, against Edey. And I also believe they'll try to pick up the full court press to make it hard to get it into him easy by pressuring the ball and forcing them perimeter players to work to get it up the court.
You just made one of our callers' day. They suggested the exact same thing as far as picking up full press and having perimeter pressure make it difficult to even get it down into him. So you know, you're co-signing one of our callers. They're having the day right now getting that kind of approval. We're talking with Earl Grant, Boston College head basketball coach from Phoenix, where the Final Four is getting started. From the inside, why is the national media so dead set on telling us that the ACC is down this year? And you know, even after they four in the Sweet 16 and everything else, they're still sticking to their guns on it. I can't make any sense of it.
Well, I think it's ridiculous, you know, I mean, because obviously we left another team out. Like, yep. Pittsburgh was one of the better teams we played. And so I think it's a ridiculous narrative. I believe it's more optics as it pertains to the coaches that we've lost versus the performance that we give. Because the last 3 years, all you got to do is look at the Elite Eight and the Final Four.
Yep.
I mean, you got, I think 2 years ago, we had two or three teams in the, we had two teams in the Final Four. I know that. This year, we had three or four in the Elite Eight. So now we got another one in the Final Four. So I would say the fact that Coach K, Roy Williams, Boeheim, Mike Bray, you know, some people who've been in the league for a lot of years who have a voice, you know, when you look at them, you say, oh, the league is great. And then you lose those guys, you just kind of automatically feel that the league is down. But the games are still being played and the teams are still performing. It's just some big-time name coaches aren't in the league anymore. So I think it's connected to that.
Another question I have for you, and this is kind of a bigger college basketball question. You look at this NC State roster, pretty much every main contributor is a transfer that was not recruited out of high school. I know you guys are in kind of a dead period during the Final Four, but up until, you know, just recently, those conversations were happening. Is that good for college basketball? I know everybody kind of falls in a different path on it. What do you think of the transfer crossing the country world?
Whether it's good or not, I mean, it's here, right? Because if you can ask 25 people, is it good or is it bad for college basketball, it's probably going to be, you know, half and half. There is some good. Quentin Post was a transfer, so I can't say it's not any good. You know, Mason Mattson was a transfer. So in terms of our program moving forward and getting to where we are today, transfers have helped us. You know, I think with NC State, if you look at their roster, you know, you're going into the game for the scouting report and you're trying to talk to your players about their team, and you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you go to the sixth man, the seventh man, all of them transfers. And so obviously that's made an impact on their program, but they did a good job because they got the right guys. You know, I don't think you can always get the right guys when you speed date to try to recruit, but they did a really good job of selecting the right guys. I mean, obviously McConnell, you know, you saw what he did against Virginia. That's a transfer, right? That's a first-year guy banking that shot in. You know, they're not where they are today without that shot going in.
I have to ask, right? You brought up how close it was against Virginia. Your own game, pretty darn close against Virginia. Does part of you think like, hey, this should be us? Look like we were 1 inch away, and then there was 1 inch there. That's just the way March is. But it has to be frustrating.
Yeah, it's a thin line between love and hate. You know what I mean? Because that shot don't go in, people hating Keats. That shot went in, they loving him. So it's a thin line between love and hate. You know, I never really thought, hey, that could have been us. But when I was watching the game, NC State versus Virginia, and Virginia was at the free throw line up three with the free throws, and then Virginia don't foul, and the ball goes in, it was deja vu of our game the night before, because we made a long two. Mason Mattson had his toes on the line. He made the three, we win. So, you know, so it was deja vu, game going to overtime, and then NC State was able to close it out.
Coach, we appreciate all your insight and into to not just the Final Four, but all college basketball, and good luck this offseason.
Appreciate it, man.
Once again, that's Earl Grant, Boston College head basketball coach. Ryan Odom, VCU head coach, joining us on the Heister Automotive Group hotline. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. I mean, I think we have to start here. We just had a conversation where somebody off the rip referenced UMBC beating UVA. You're obviously the coach there. Or we're the coach there, I should say. Let's start there. How difficult is it to get your team locked in when they become America's team? Because obviously NC State, for different reasons, is kind of falling into that category.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's easier said than done. You know, certainly for us, that was a historic win, first ever. And immediately, you know, you could sense it in the locker room, you know, with the media coming in there and just kind of what we were up against, you know, to try to get ready for that next game. We didn't walk out of the arena that night because it was the last game of the night, you know, until like 1 a.m. And in terms of trying to get those guys, you know, settled down and get them ready for that next day to prep for Kansas State was not very easy, quite honestly. And so NC State, you know, they've been going strong, you know, since, you know, the ACC tournament. And Coach Keats and his staff have done an awesome job. And every one that you win, you know, it just builds confidence for that next one. And I think that's what you're seeing with that team right now.
How quickly does someone from administration or how quickly does someone immediately get in your face and say, we have to use this to raise funds, or we have to use this to recruit? And like, as a basketball coach, everybody gets into basketball to coach basketball, but how quickly does the business get in your face and say, like, we're the story, let's capitalize?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly, you know, it was huge for UMBC, mm-hmm. right? You know, one of my mentors was our president at the time, Dr. Freeman Hrabowski, and certainly that moment, you know, was huge for the school overall. You know, he had spent the better part of 30 years trying to build that institution, great academic institution, public school, and, you know, he just done such a great job. And to all of a sudden have sports become, you know, a part of that story for him, and to get the message out about all the cool things that were going on our campus and that he had done, you know, that was really rewarding for me personally, because I know how hard he had worked for 30 years, you know, to get it to that point.
We're talking with Ryan Odom, head coach at VCU. Coach, is there some secret coaching back channels when you're facing something you've never faced before that you go to, like a back page of the playbook? Because DJ Burns and Zach Edey, like, I can't imagine, you know, there's
it's
even
gonna be fascinating, right?
And you can't simulate it in practice, right? You can't give somebody like a, you know, 245-pound plates and a beach ball and say you're going to play DJ Burns today at practice. How do you go about scouting for guys who you've just never seen before?
Yeah, I mean, you just do your best, right? You try to figure out, you know, some times within the season where other teams have had success against that person, right, or that team, and you try to see if you can replicate it. And certainly, you know, we've always tried to do that. I mean, that's part of the game plan, is just getting your guys ready, you know, from a personnel standpoint. But those two guys are so unique, and, you know, that, you know, you really can't do much until, like, you can't prepare your team for the size, you know, and the skill that those two guys have. You can't have your scout team do it, right? You just don't have that guy. And it's a really unique situation. And so you just do your best to stick with your principles. You know, how do you guard a post player, you know, in general? How do you keep them off balance? One of the biggest things that you really try to do is just limit the easy ones and make them have to beat you with really hard, difficult plays. And, again, that's easier said than done when they're that big and they can get close to the rim.
You know, we all are college basketball junkies. You see the old videos of, like, when you're getting ready to play Ralph Sampson, an assistant coach.
Yeah,
which is Edey, right? So you have the assistant coach with the broomstick. Do you go that far to simulate somebody?
Yeah,
you do.
No doubt. And you do a lot of it through video, quite honestly. It's hammering home with video and clips of things where teams have success against them. And then you show them where teams have lack of success, right? If you do this, you're going to be in trouble. The ball is going to be going the other direction on you. Now, if you do this, all right, he's going to be dunking the ball right near the basket. And so you just got to try to limit it. And, you know, I think most coaches in basketball and certainly in the NBA, there's so much video out there nowadays, you're hammering home. Because you don't have long practice times this time of year. You're in the gym for 45 minutes on the court. But you can't wear them out. You know, they have to be ready for the game. And so really a lot of the prep is done through film.
I don't know if you saw this, but Brad Underwood of Illinois was quoted in a in-game interview talking about Donovan Klingon, the center for UConn, saying, you know, if he blocks 100 shots, he's going to block 100 shots, basically saying they're not afraid of him and they're going to drive towards him. And I don't know if he got to 100, but it felt like it while watching the game. It was close. How do you balance that where, you know, you have a big, you have somebody that's a defensive presence, and you want to make sure your players are confident, but you also don't want to bash your head against the wall and just go like, you know, hey, keep doing it. You're just as good as he is, even if you might be losing that battle.
Yeah, I mean, they're a tough matchup for anybody right now. I haven't seen many teams roll through the tournament like UConn has over the last 2 years. You know, we were fortunate enough to, you know, be in the same conference at Utah State with San Diego State last year, and I know how good they were over the course of the season. And, you know, for them to play, you know, UConn fairly tough, but then, you know, kind of for them to separate like they did, says a lot about Coach Hurley and his team. And I think they're doing it again. They're going to be a tough out, you know, in this Final Four. They just have a really good balance of inside and outside play. He's an excellent coach and puts his guys in the proper positions. But, you know, to your point, you know, you've got to limit, you know, the amount of times where, like, if somebody's good at blocking shots, well, you don't want to keep going in there after them. You know, you got to find other ways, right? You got to screen them, you got to move them, and find other ways to score.
Coach, last one for you, and thank you very much for taking the time to jump on the phone lines with us. It's kind of, you know, 2020 hindsight. Everyone now likes to say, you know, NC State, because they're this year's double-digit seed making a run, they have that thing, right? Oh, they have this quality. And we can all say that now, but you brought up, you saw San Diego State up close before they go on a run. You saw Duquesne a couple times this year late in the season, and then they make a run. Is there that gut feeling when you see a team saying, like, all right, they may not have put it all together in the regular season, but they're close?
The key is, as a coach, you want your team certainly to reach its potential, and you want them to be playing their best basketball at the end of the season. And I think certainly that's what's happened with NC State. And like I said earlier, one game, all right, one game can lead to another positive game for you. And then all of a sudden you're gaining confidence as you go. And I think that's certainly happened, you know, with NC State's team. Coach Keats has done a great job with that group. They know who they are. They know how they have to win and how they have to play in order to win on offense and defense. They're not going to beat themselves. They're not going to throw it away. They're going to get a shot each time. And at key moments, they know where the ball is going and who's going to make the decision. And that's really what coaching is. You know, the players have to make the plays, but you have to put them in the right positions for them to be able to make the right plays.
Coach, thank you very much for your time, and good luck at VCU.
Awesome. Thank you.
Once again, that is Ryan Odom, head coach, VCU men's basketball.